I'm on news.com.au. Stay indoors. Giant-sized hail. Destructive winds warning. I've also got massive star 49 spotted at huge Melbourne event.
Oh, what does that mean?
An A-list celebrity known for her dramatic roles has taken on a new one as the exclusive guest at an illustrious Melbourne event.
Who's this?
Among guests was A-list star Michelle Monaghan.
No, I'm so sorry to this Monaghan. I don't know you.
The 49-year-old was an exclusive guest of Lexus in the birdcage enclosure.
You got to cage her up.
The
you
actress followed the dress code flawlessly.
Did she?
Yeah, she wore a white dress with a split in the hem that climbed up to her hip, and she had this hat.
Was that the exact dress code?
I don't know.
It must have been.
The hat looks
fucking stupid. Look, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm a hat hater. There's certain hats that I really like, but most of the time I just think hats look stupid.
Brooke Warren was there too, who I think is just Shane Warren's daughter.
Brooke Warren.
Like, surely that's Shane Warren's daughter.
Yeah. Is she also wearing a hat?
Yeah, it's like a race day thing.
Oh,
I don't know, because it's like not Melbourne Cup Day.
Pre-race
and Chelsea
fashion.
Becherovic, who has been dubbed Australia's hottest wag. With her boyfriend, Port Adelaide player Ivan Solder.
Give us a look. Let's see.
She's like a Barbie.
Yeah, she looks very like a modern Paris Hilton.
Yeah, actually, she does look a lot like just in the
she
face.
She has like the
Paris.
Vibe of Paris Hilton. She doesn't look identical to her, but like the vibe is there.
Apparently, last year, TV and radio host Carrie Bickmore was criticized after she was pictured inside the prestigious birdcage. I don't know why she was criticized. Apparently,
because
it's the races. Yeah, they were disappointed to see her at it.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
They didn't want to see Carrie Bickmore?
Yeah, they were like, I guess Carrie Bickmore's like normie fans are like, Carrie, the races, they're brutal. However, there were plenty of fans who said she looked gorgeous and told her to ignore the woke haters. Again,
damn.
This is news.com.au.
Get it, news.com.au.
We also had, Bunnings makes move no one saw coming.
They are now selling tradies.
They are. No, they. I was really excited for this, but they've just installed security gates.
What? Like, oh, like on the store?
Yeah. Apparently there's been a big increase in theft from Bunnings as, like, I guess the last place you can steal from. What
else
will the work mob? The
last bastion of shoplifting.
Oh, goodness. This one's great. 40 prostitutes. New Prince Andrew allegation.
Wow. 40 prostitutes? How many? Yeah. All right,
40.
What do we got? Andrew had 40 prostitutes delivered to Thailand hotel during midlife crisis trip, historian claims.
Was he older than the amount of prostitutes he had?
Yes, by 1 year.
He was 41. He's like,
yeah, prostitute for every year. But then I guess, you know what? He's probably like, you know what? I want to have an orgy and the participants have to equal 41 because I am 41. So he's like, get me 40 girls.
Get me 40 gal.
40 gal. God.
Yeah, that's a bad week for Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. I think that's his new name.
Yeah, Andrew Mountbatten Windsor.
Welcome to Royal Talk with the Shouldn't Have Crew.
Yeah, hey, we're talking about Prince Andrew.
Ex-Prince Andrew.
Ex-Prince Andrew. Yeah, he doesn't have a title anymore.
Ex-Prince sounds like you're like a royal X-Men.
The ex-prince?
Yeah.
Ex-prince sounds like you were tied up in a scandalous divorce.
I mean, who hasn't been?
I mean, you know, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities, you know. I mean, let there be 1,000 blossoms bloom. But I ain't spending any time on it. But I ain't spending any time on it.
Hey everyone, how and by everyone I mean Karen and Archie. Hey Karen.
Hey Yanni. Damn.
It's really short.
That was crazy.
That's so much quicker. I'm just opening up my thing. As you can hear, I've got the environmental mic on. There is a big storm.
Yes.
Again. If you remember our episode on, I can't remember what the episode was actually but it was during ex-tropical cyclone Prince Alfred.
Yeah, that's right.
But we haven't pulled anyone over for the episode, so we're not doing, a main episode right now. We've got a big series coming up soon that I'm pretty excited for. But, you know, given it's the storm, it's a bit cozy, we're not going to have, like, lovely audio quality no matter what we do, because there's, like, loud thunder and stuff.
Yeah, so we're just sitting on the couch. We're both holding our microphones. Archie's lying down in his bed in the corner.
The aircon's still on.
Yeah, the aircon. You could probably hear that, but the aircon's still on.
I don't think they can hear it under the rain.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
but hopefully you can
hear
the rain and a little bit of thunder.
Yeah,
for some,
it's like,
atmos.
You're on rainymood.com with Yanni and Kieran, and I thought it'd be a wonderful opportunity for us to check back in on some of the stories we've covered over the past 11 months.
Woohoo!
We've spent almost a year trying to get to the bottom of the story of Australia, and I think we're closer to the bottom than we've ever been.
So far down.
We're so far down. I thought I'd start probably at the top with Adam Bant.
I'm Adam Bant.
Just because it's probably the only biography episode we've done that we at least liked the guy.
That's pretty fair. Bant, Bant, Bant.
Yeah,
Bant Nation,
like,
stand
other
up.
Than Ned Kelly, it's like we've just covered ghouls and like Adam Bant. It's like, I'm not out here to be like Adam Bant's the savior or whatever, but like...
Oh, I am. I think Adam Hot Wife Bant is gonna save us all.
Well, you know, he might. He might well, because... So he obviously lost his seat in the federal election earlier this year.
I hope he finds it.
We did... Yeah, he lost his seat. They pulled the chair out from under him. He's... fallen under the hoop. Shaq's dunking on him, being like, oh, Adam, how my ass tastes.
Critical duck duck goose failure. No, it's musical chairs. Fuck.
Anyway, so he's been appointed CEO of the Australian Conservation Foundation.
Okay.
Which is great, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like,
I don't know. Do they actually conserve, or is this just another, like, fun think tank that we give ex-politicians jobs at?
So it's not a think tank. They're, like, a peak body style organization, and they seem to be involved in, like, Adani protesting.
That's,
you know,
good, but anytime someone tells me something's a peak body thing,
yeah,
I'm just like, oh, so it's bullshit then.
I think it's the... it's
You can't just say peak body. It's the same as when people say, like, oh, an inundation of water. You know,
yeah,
like in floods where they're like, this place is inundated. To the, like, point where the word doesn't mean anything. It's just like...
it's flooded, bro.
You don't have anything else to... oh, it's a peak body. It's an inundated peak body.
Listen, as someone with a peak body, I'm just glad for the representation.
As somebody who frequently inundates a peak body.
God. Shouldn't have said anything. Shouldn't have said that. Anyway, so I don't know. Like, I guess it's better than, like, Adam Bant is chair of Westpac or whatever.
Damn. I mean, he couldn't even get a uni role.
He couldn't get a uni role like Big Billy Shorten.
Like,
we
Billy
will speak
or
about.
Julie. Or
Julie. Probably Julia eventually. Yeah, good luck, Adam. Come on the pod.
Yeah.
Come on the pod.
Hey,
we'd love to have you and
come
your hot
on the pod,
wife.
Adam. Let's, yeah, yeah, bring your hot wife
bring
and we'll
your
all
hot
talk.
Wife.
We can, like,
we
relate about our hot wives.
Yeah, yeah. You two can talk about
we can talk shop and hot wives.
How you have like a peak body hot wife.
Exactly.
Our other early episodes were about Anthony Albanese, who's still a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, but he's ready to dance to Joy Division or whatever.
We weren't going to speak about it, but that's been strange, huh?
That's so stupid.
It's crazy for Susan Lee, because, like, come on, Susan, you know about the band Joy Division.
Like, girl, you know this shit. Don't even,
this is a band that there's songs about the band.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Or one song about the band, but it's
at least,
like, the fact is there's not many bands with songs about them.
Yes.
Like, no one's released a song being like, you know, let's dance to the Rolling Stones.
I mean,
celebrate.
Don't fact check us on that.
Yeah.
I don't care
right.
to know.
Maybe Rules released one of those songs. Anyway, he's still a piece of shit. David Crisafulli we'll talk about a bit later, but he was an early episode.
Yes.
He's not been that interesting. And then Bill Shorten, who's, you know, still disappointing. So
classic.
He's vice chancellor at your alma mater, the University of Canberra. He says that we all underestimated a massive problem at universities a couple
of
weeks ago.
Oh, shit. What is this? What did we underestimate?
We all underestimated the latent anti-Semitism at universities.
Oh, so it's not the rape on campus or, you know... the absolute, like, fucked handling of stuff and academic issues. You know,
no.
Now we're firing a bunch of people
no.
and education's getting worse and degrees are more expensive and you'll probably get raped at uni and, you know, all that stuff. We aren't... none of that was a problem.
Nor like, you know, connections between the security state, the Israeli security state, and Australian universities. That's not the problem. It's the latent anti-Semitism. He's like, oh, you know, this has just given an excuse for those anti-Semites to come out. Anything but the problem, Bill. Anything but the problem.
Come on.
I honestly reckon, actually, given we just spoke about Susan Lee, I didn't even think we were going to say this, but like, the Liberal Party has a shot at a coup here. I think they could get Bill Shorten to lead the Liberal Party.
Get Billy over to the Libs.
Well, because he's like, you know, in terms of much of his economic policy, he's a market-based guy. He wants to financialize as much as possible. He wants government to be quite small. He's in favor of unions that essentially work for the company. He's a slimy dude. I think he's slimy enough that he would sign on to replace Susan Lee to be like, oh, it's a reasonable Liberal Party.
Well, he does want to be, you know, he did tell Arnie that he wants to be the next Prime Minister, that he was going to be the next Prime Minister.
He told Arnie?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He went up to him at the end of, like, Schwarzenegger. This was in the Bill Shorten episode. Basically, what happened
was... Wait, the episode that I wrote?
Yes, but I showed some video clips.
Yes, that's right.
Bill Shorten video clips. And basically, there is one where he is approaching Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's just like, hey, Arnie, I'm going to be the next Prime Minister of Australia. And Arnold Schwarzenegger is just like shaking his hand because he's shaking the hands of fans, basically. Like,
yeah.
He's just finished like a run, and also he's a celebrity, and also like, I guess, in politics at this point. And he's just kind of like gives him a look and is like, haha, all right. And like, Bill just looks like half proud of himself for finding like the gumption somewhere within him to actually like approach the man, and also like deep shame at the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't fucking care.
No, of course not.
Why, like, would he?
He probably
That's
reacted...
an insane thing to say.
Well, he probably reacted the same way as if I went up to him and I was like, I'm going to be the next Prime Minister of Australia.
And he's just kind of like, all right, shakes your hand, has a photo, walks off.
It's like, that wasn't even the fifth weirdest person I met today.
Yeah, he's
I'm
like,
Arnold
you know what? Yeah, exactly. He's like, oh, I'm well acquainted with freaks.
Yeah, he's just, like, he's not even interested in how weird he is. So I think that's there. I think that's there for Bill. I think that's there for the Liberal Party. I think they should try to tap him. Obviously, we also covered Peter Dutton early.
Oh, Duts.
But he's kept good on his I'm done with politics stance. He did, like, a talk at some point recently, but he's, like, just keeping quiet, running his property empire.
Yeah, I honestly haven't heard anything about Dutton.
Well, he said he didn't seem very, like, happy being
I don't
a politician.
Think he likes it.
I just really don't think he likes it. And when he was leaving, they were like, you know, you're going to ask, are your kids going to go into politics? He's like, absolutely not. I'm going,
like,
to tell
I
them specifically,
not.
Don't do that. Do anything else. And yeah, so, you know, he's gone. I'm glad he's gone. You know, he got everybody to officially announce that they thought he wasn't shit.
Yeah.
And it took the whole country being like, hey, Peter, none of us like you. And he's like, I'm going to take that.
You know what? This seems pretty clear.
I hope he stays away.
God, hopefully.
Karen, talking about prominent politicians with names starting with P.E., how's Penny Wong been doing lately?
Penny Wong. So it has been about 5 months since we last checked in with Penny.
Yeah. So we were pretty nice to Penny, I think.
We were. And at the end of, like, our kind of discussion on Penny, we were talking about, like, what's the value in talking about the disparate identities of this person? Like, how does that relate to her politics? How does that relate to her engagement with anything? And the answer is it doesn't. And no. We will continue to see that forthwith. So let's have a quick go over what Penny's been up to. So at the end of May, Penny was reassuring our Pacific Island neighbours that Australia was very serious about climate change and very committed to climate action in the region.
We are. Like, we're not serious about anything else but climate change in this country.
Yeah, you know, other than, like, you know, EA, serious about sport or whatever.
Well, we're serious about changing the climate.
We're serious about... I didn't say which way. So this is obviously important because, as you might be aware, Pacific nations like Tuvalu, for example, will face the consequences of higher sea levels and a changing ocean geography before anybody else.
Yeah. Like the Maldives and stuff.
Yeah, like
well
already...
on the other side. But those little islands.
Exactly. Already they've experienced twice the rise of their sea levels compared to the global average. Like, they've experienced double the global average already.
That's really good. Like, if this continues, they're going to have so much water.
Yeah, well, you know, it is predicted that at the end of the century, more than 90% of the island will be submerged. How are we responding? So there's financial contributions going to a bunch of, like, island nations. There's all these deals. You would have heard the deals going through.
Deals.
Deals one of on which I wasn't able to get too much information on, but there is a deal that was made on Nauru about, like...
They've opened the detention center back up.
Yeah, and there's, like, a whole bunch of, like, deals that were made, and the Australian government isn't, like, being clear on what the deals were.
The Australian government's, at the moment, not being clear about shit. Like, that's a...
Yes.
They're in a lot of heat right now from all sides, being like, hey, y'all don't tell us anything. What's going on?
Yes. So, apparently what's happened is, right, and I haven't written this down, but basically what's happened is someone from... The Nauru government has released a video onto Facebook, which is like an interview discussing the whole deal and stuff, right?
Okay.
But it's in like Nauruan.
Let me look up what the language is called.
I do actually believe it's Nauruan.
It is Nauruan?
I think so.
All right.
Okay. I want to say so, but you tell me if I'm wrong.
I'll tell you, but you can go on.
And essentially it's just like an interview in Nauruan, just like, you know, talking about the whole thing. And... Because there isn't any translation software or, like, that many experts in it because there's, like, so few speakers.
Yeah, the first line under the heading of the Wikipedia page is, the Nauruan language is one of the languages that does not exist yet in Google Translate.
Yeah, like, so actually decoding what's been said is a whole thing, right? So, apparently, someone in the government, somebody has some vague understanding of Nauru, and perhaps they're from Nauru, and they were able to provide like an unofficial translation of the interview, right? And like transcribed it into English.
Right.
And then now is refusing to release that, even though there's been freedom of information requests. And the answer behind that is something along the lines of, if we release this, it would damage the reputation between Australia and Nauru.
What?
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
there's
God,
no
I
more...
Heard-
This
what?
Is actually, like, very recent.
Holy shit.
And it's only vaguely related to this whole thing because Penny's been doing her little tour around the Pacific being like, deals, deals, deals. Same with Albo,
what?
Right?
Wait, like, I don't... But what the fuck? What is happening? I don't know anything about this. Oh, there's so many things that, if you search Nauru document...
yeah, there probably is. Anyway, while you're looking into that...
Yeah, please.
Let me continue on. So... I've got some stuff in here about how one of the biggest things that Australia is committing to, other than like financial contributions to a bunch of nations, is reducing greenhouse gases. And apparently the current goal is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 62 to 70% below 2005 levels by 2035.
Are we going to do it?
It actually, like, I was ready for us to not be able to do it, but it actually doesn't look terrible. So, basically, in 2005, there were 621.1 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, which is the measurement they use, I guess. Uh-huh. So, to get to a 62% reduction, we'd be looking at having a total of 236 metric tons in 2035. Mm. So, the 2024 data, which is, you know, just over a decade out from the mythical 2035... We are currently at 497 metric tons, roughly.
Okay, so we've allegedly reduced it by 130.
Yeah, so can we drop that again? Maybe, but, I mean, don't hold your breath.
No, and, like, important in all of these is that, like, every year that it's still happening is a bunch more pumped out that is still going to have to be accounted for eventually, right? Like, that damage is still going to be done.
Yes. Like, this shit, it's not like as if we're going to fix it in 2035 and everything will be good. It will be like, hey, maybe we'll stop actively destroying shit.
62%. I don't, like, so I'm this, for the pod, for the listeners, I'm not saying this with any sources at the moment, but I wonder if this is also one of those situations where they're not accounting for stuff that's being exported. I can't remember. Like, I know sometimes they do that, but I can't remember what for.
Yeah, like trying to work out what the like the math on that whole like equivalency and calculations, I can't do it and I don't know. But that's basically the stats we've got. But we've gotten off of Penny. So moving back to Penny, yes. Next order of business, Israel.
Yeah. What's she up to?
So as Australia's foreign minister, Penny has flip-flopped on declaring Israel's war crimes in Gaza as a genocide, along with the rest of the Labour Party. You can kind of picture them like those, like, wacky, waving, inflatable arm men.
Yeah, they're waving around. They're like, sweet home, Yerushalayim.
Oh, God. So she's got a bunch of cold takes on the matter, and they aren't really...
They're cold cuts.
They're cold cuts. She's got Devin. Some cold cuts.
She's got some Devin on the matter.
This girl has slapped Devin all over this shit. So let's have a look at what's been going on. So she signed an international joint statement calling for aid to resume in Gaza.
Yay.
Stop selling them weapons.
She said Israel would be in violation of international law if they expanded military operations in Gaza.
Everything they've done since 1976 has been... Okay.
Issued sanctions on two Israeli government figures, Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich. Bezalel Smotrich.
Bezalel? I don't know.
Fuck if I know.
That's a crazy name to have.
And again, these mean less than nothing because they're not coming to Australia, nor ever would they.
I think we spoke about this at some point really briefly, but and I've also referenced it in my music.
Yes.
But it's just, it's just pathetic and also the kind of thing that I think a lot of people would just ate up.
Yeah.
A lot of people just ate up.
Yeah. She is very alarmed by the escalation, she says, between Israel and Iran. And this is when talking about Israel's strikes on Iran.
Yes, that's probably like, when we spoke about the last thing.
She also called on all parties to refrain from actions and rhetoric that would further exacerbate tensions. Now, that's an interesting thing because she does explicitly say that she's talking to Iran here. And that, you know, anyway.
Well, she's just saying don't hit him back.
Yeah, basically.
Don't you dare hit him back.
Basically.
And also, she, I imagine, said something about how evil Iran is.
Yeah, well, she affirmed that Iran can never be allowed nuclear weapons and that the Israel and U.S. attack on Iran was completely justified.
Oh.
And that Iran shouldn't be upset, but they need to come to the table to negotiate peace.
That's right.
Yeah.
Come on, Penelope.
Come on, Penelope.
Come on.
She continued using the favored soundbite of our noble political class, which is Israel has the right to defend itself.
Listen, I know everyone listening to this knows this, but anyone who's saying that doesn't know anything.
Correct.
Like, it's just a thing you say when you hear people say it. It's sort of like doing the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
In school when you have an iPhone, right? It's just like, well, this doesn't make any sense.
Hail Mary, giving face, the Lord slays with thee.
Yeah, that's Penelope.
Cunty arts thou amongst women.
That's exactly what it goes, you know, like. People don't read the real Bible.
Exactly. If you'd read my version. Anyway, so she signed another international joint statement calling for the end of the Israeli war in Palestine.
Mm.
Argued that recognizing Palestine would become a part of the peace process, reiterating Australia's stance on a two-state solution.
There's another canard, the two-state solution. It's like, listen, that was already bullshit like 20 years ago, but like now?
Come on now.
Now? It's like, yeah, now let's draw up some hard borders.
Come on now.
Come on now.
And that Israel's strike on Qatar was the wrong thing to do.
Oh no, they made a mistake.
They've
done a boo-boo.
Guys, come on.
You shouldn't
on.
Have done it.
We all make mistakes, but you have to admit that was the wrong thing to do. So you need to go to Qatar.
Come on, you need
and
to go
say
to Qatar.
Very honestly, I'm sorry, Qatar. I didn't mean to do a missile strike on you.
I'm sorry, Doha.
I was feeling very upset and I was feeling very bullied. And I did it and I'm sorry.
And if they do that, I think, honestly, Hamas should come to the table finally.
God.
Or whatever it is.
Anyway, you know, blah, 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 blah. Australia will never have a stance separate to the UK on matters of international diplomacy. We suckle at the tit of the king, ever hungry, as his dried up areolas offer nothing but drips of sour Commonwealth milk. It's beautiful and we're so thirsty.
I'm so thirsty for that king milk. I really... Listen, do you reckon King Chucky's lactating?
You know...
he's old, right?
What's
a king to a pail of cream milk?
Can a god milk a king?
Can a god milk a king? Yeah. God, come on down here and milk Chucky for us. Milk him for all he's worth. Oh, we shouldn't be mean to Chucky. He just had to kill his brother or whatever just happened.
God, I wish. God, if there's any... Look, listen, here. I'm saying it, I don't care.
Go on, say it.
If there's any point to having a monarchy in, like, the 20s, you have to go medieval on these motherfuckers. Like, I want to see insane shit. I want to see these fuckers living without, like, electricity. I don't want anybody to have phones. I want to see... This is now royalty as it was in like the 1500s.
The 15s.
They have to be like kept like that and like encased in a capsule. And yes. So whenever
like
these things happen, exactly. So it's like we should be going to like a zoo for these people. Yes. Like we should be able to just like observe them in their natural habitat.
They should be performing.
They should be performing.
If they're a figurehead, they should be performing.
What's the point otherwise?
King Charles's brother has disgraced the family. What does a real king do when your brother disgraces the family? You take him to the public square and you cut his head off or you hang him.
Exactly.
You let
Grow
him die with
fuck
honor.
Up.
Cut
we
his
are,
stomach
you're
open.
You're not even using the Tower of London anymore.
It's right there.
It's right fucking
oh,
there.
Just fucking throw him off Big Ben. Who
God
gives a fuck?
God damn it.
Like, there's so many options. Put him in the Thames.
There's just...
Anyway, in the Thames.
In the Thames. And final thing for Penny. Had a bit of a mask-off moment where she basically told David Pocock to shut the fuck up when he was, rightly, kicking up a stink about there being lobbyists who paid to join the Parliamentary Sports Club to, you know, unofficially lobby and sway politicians. She says, for you to come in here and try to get a grab-up by asserting what you just asserted, it is really not the way you generally play politics.
I fucking... Don't tell David Pocock how to play anything.
Yeah, the man is a legend.
He's better than you at every sport, Penelope. Listen, we got to get David Pocock on the pod.
Got to get Pocock on the pod.
We got to get Pocock. We got to get the Pocock pod.
Yes.
Podcock. Wait.
Anyway, so nothing really surprising from Penny at this point.
Yeah. Penelope.
Basically, every time she's done something that's like, you know, like generally positive, like, you know, issuing a sanction or signing a thing, in every single instance, it is the actual bare minimum.
Yeah.
There are examples of countries all over the world going far above and beyond actually doing shit.
Yeah.
And Australia continues to not do anything.
Really aggressively.
And just waits for the UK, really, and like kind of looks at the US kind of like, is this okay? Is it okay if I do this one?
I mean, Albo's
is this one okay?
Fucking Donald's best friend right now.
Oh my God, I saw...
It's been
this
so
is,
embarrassing.
This is irrelevant. I saw a TikTok that was just like an American girl talking about like political yowie and was just like, oh my God, Trump and Albo, they're like, they have a really deep and special connection and
oh,
shit.
Oh, you mean like Y-A-O-I?
Yeah, sorry, yowie.
Yeah, not like yowies.
Not like yowies, like...
Yeah.
Like,
I was like, an American talking about political yowies? What? How did she get onto that topic?
What the
that doesn't
fuck?
Make any sense.
No, no, no.
No, like gay
fictionalized
sex.
Gay,
fictionalized gay
yeah.
romances.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, what was she saying?
Trump and Albo have a really special relationship, and hopefully it gets a little closer and they can, like, you know, get it on.
Yeah, can you imagine Trump just, like, feeding Albo, like, 3 or 4 McDonald's hamburgers?
Could you imagine Trump taking Albo as, like, his weird little bride?
Yeah, that sounds great. Albo's got a gay one. Because, like, he's smaller than Trump, right?
Yeah, he is.
He looks like a little baby. He's got his
yeah,
glasses on.
He's just like, oh, thank you. We've had a really good conversation.
They wear, like, matching diapers.
Like, I just, it doesn't matter anyway.
It doesn't. Look,
moving
it doesn't matter.
On.
Albo, stay off the pod. We don't want you.
Stay off the pod.
Liz, oh, Archie, what's going on? You got to go yell at someone outside?
Hope y'all heard that on the pod. Let me open the door up
yeah,
for
Yeah, we'll open the door up for Archie, see what's going on outside. So here's some live footage. Archie's gone outside. Has it stopped raining? Yeah, right. Okay, so this storm, we were told we were to expect hailstones. It seems to have stopped raining.
Chad, I'm just checking. I'm just checking on bomb now.
Yeah, we're just going to check the famously inept Bureau of Meteorology. Their new website, which people aren't happy about. All right, Archie's back, so we can probably...
shut that door.
We can shut that door.
I'm just having a...
And I will edit it. This, so I can cut it. It's not a Patreon.
Stunning. God, I don't even know. Oh, there we are. Yeah, it seems like we're in the clear for a little bit.
All right, well, storm's over.
All right, guys, we will rebuild.
Glad that worked. So, on the topic of the weather, you might remember another early episode about a place where there's weather, Gari.
Gari!
Which I called Kigari the whole time because I'd never spoken to anyone about it. And it was formerly known as Fraser Island, and the environmental destructions that Australians wreak every day there... we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
So our dear friend Carrie, she is in touch with the Save Gari Dingoes group. And she's been keeping me up to date with, you know, what's happening over there.
Shout out, Carrie.
So, yeah, shout out, Carrie. Welcome to the Carrie Corner.
Carrie's Corner.
Scarex of Carrot. Scarex. Skerrix of Wisdom, but Carrie.
Carinol of Truth.
Oh, some Carinols. Yeah. Shout out, Carrie. We'll put the puns to the side for this one. In May, a dingo was stabbed in the neck by a tourist after the dingo bit a kid. The kid's fine. He's nine and he'd wandered away by himself into just like some bush.
The thing that they tell you not to do.
Yeah, the thing where it's like, oh, you're just a bad parent. Like, this is just bad parenting. It's like, oh, yeah, there's snakes there as well. It's like, oh, you're just being a bad parent and you stab this dingo. And it's just like, why'd you stab it? Just like scare it off.
Fuck, dude.
This whole country is bad parenting. There have been 4 dingo attacks on Gari this year. And if you go to the Facebook post about the attacks, it's all comments by dickheads. And they're like, it will always be Fraser Island. Like,
oh, it will always be Fraser Island
and, like,
to
Australian
me.
Australian flags. It's pathetic. My blood pounds because, like, I think because I'm not on Facebook, I don't see this kind of shit.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, it's like really stupid nationalism. Like, how dare you rename it from Fraser Island? It's like, she was a liar and a crazy person and real shit.
But she was white.
That, I guess, that's the thing. So, yeah, it's stupid nationalism everywhere. In theory, on Facebook, you can tell them off, and so it's tempting. Because you can be like, you will always be a piece of shit, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, there were people on Gari who hit a dingo with their car and cut its head off in July.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Like, I have to assume more tourists, those people are always and will always be pieces of shit.
Yeah.
We'll repeat what we said when we did that episode. Gari, you don't have to dingo.
You don't have to
no
dingo.
No one's making you go to Gari.
No one is making you dingo. Like, you just don't have to fucking go.
Yeah.
And also, the fact that you do is insane. How can you have any, like, I don't know, any morality to you?
No, that's not a question at all. Like, the question of having, like, that's not how it works.
I know it's not, but, like,
it's not a question that's come up. There's not a question that comes up in these people's minds.
Of course not. It's just people doing shit.
Also, people hate
dingoes. Nobody fucking thinks. Nobody fucking thinks.
We're going to speak a lot more about dingoes, actually, in one of our episodes coming up.
Are we talking more about the Tantanoola tiger?
No, because that's a tiger.
That you're right.
It's not a dingo. That's a different thing. So there was a pretty big biodiversity study done by the University of Queensland on, like, Australian islands this year. And they found that Gari has, like, the most species of frog and fish present in its waterways out of all
shit.
The islands. Yeah.
Okay.
And as well as a stunning array of other plant and animal life.
Fuck yes.
According to the head of the department, there is a term for islands like these in the biodiversity world, and it chills me to my bones. Extinction hubs.
Oh my fucking God.
Places that, whether due to isolation, protection, or unique ecology, become the homes for the lost pockets of a species.
Fuck.
Researchers are saying that if there's not going to be proper protection, there should at least be a cap on visitor numbers.
Yeah.
Because, like, people going there is destroying it. Like, simple as that.
Yes.
Like, just simple as that. It's just like, oh, it's every tourist that goes there makes it worse.
To reiterate from what you discussed in the episode we did, the amount of human waste.
Oh, my God.
On the
rivers
island
of it.
Is foul. Like, just people just, like, shitting on the sand. Like, you can't.
Dragging their,
like,
asses. Disgusting.
Bleh.
Unfortunately, before they can talk about the visitor numbers, Parliament has to deal with an official petition and push from One Nation and a Maryborough historian to change the name back to Fraser Island.
Great. Really, really good way to spend our time.
Yeah. Look, Carrie, I know you're listening. Carrie, you are one of the people whose thoughts I turn to whenever I'm in need of guidance. I am too much of a narcissist to ever admit to having a mentor, but thank you for all the support, including, of course, the support you give this podcast and all the projects I work on in my life. Carrie actually sent me a fun thing recently.
Oh, really?
Which was nice, after our recent cryptid episode.
Yeah.
You know how Bob Brown's kind of just, like, everywhere?
Yes, I love Bob Brown.
Yeah, I love Bob Brown, too. We spoke about him when we spoke about Adam Bant. He's the pioneering Greens leader who was also the doctor on duty when Jimi Hendrix died.
Yeah.
So 3 years after that, you'll love this, he is traipsing around the Tarkine rainforest in Tasmania looking for the Tasmanian tiger.
Oh my God, Bob!
Yeah, he went on 5, like, expeditions to
King, we
try
are the same.
Find one. Look, he's quite clear in his view that the extinction of the thylacine is something that Australians need to accept.
I understand, and even heroes can be wrong.
Exactly. I mightn't agree with his view, but I agree with the spirit of his view.
Yes.
But they're obviously still out there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, obviously. On the topic of conservation, Victoria Park / Brambin and the entire Olympics.
Ruh-roh. How's that going?
Well, they're apparently still happening, although I'm certain there's no way they're getting this across the line. The Olympics was one of the big things the biodiversity people were talking about. They're like, you need to cap visitor numbers before the Olympics, otherwise we'll all die.
Yes.
Because Gari's expecting massive increases.
Yes.
And, like, is it worse if it's a drunk Englishman killing dingoes or, like, a evangelical American? Like, ew, I guess. But, like, there's
just so many. Fundamentally,
what
happens is still the same thing.
Exactly.
Which is complete and utter destruction and devastation.
But, yeah, so Victoria Park in Brisbane itself, we were lucky to speak with Rose O'Hagan about that from, say, Victoria Park.
Yes.
It's still gearing up to be an Olympic stadium. They started drilling in the last few weeks or whatever.
Of course they have.
Say Victoria Park has been pretty consistently picketing, including at the business launch for the event. So outside the hotel where the parcels of land are being doled out to real estate interests, they
Yay.
Were there. Just like reminding people, trying to remind people.
Fuck's sake.
Obviously, there are a number of legal challenges brewing. Mm. Yagara Maganjin Aboriginal Corporation has taken their challenge to the federal government. And I'm a pessimist about this. It won't work, but they're fighting the battle in front of them. The only one available to them.
Yeah.
The idea that they're coming to is that the federal government could legally enforce long-term protection of a significant Aboriginal area, and that power could be given to the environment minister, who could in theory go above David Crucifulli's head and also be going against the wishes of everybody in politics and business by doing so. But in theory, they could if for some reason the environment minister decided to do that.
Yeah, actually, I mean, come on now. Like, yeah. You know that whoever gets put as environment minister, like, they're not going to do shit.
They're part of the party.
Yeah.
Everyone's bringing the Olympics here.
It's really fun when it's like, we're going to give this minister special powers. And it's like, okay, they're not independent.
No, they work for
someone. They are a cog in the machine. Like, they are... They do, like, pledge their fucking fealty to whatever.
To the Labour Party.
Yeah.
So, anyway, in theory, they could declare entirety of Brisbane a, like, site of significance and development would be impeded further.
Yeah.
Let's just contrast this with what governments actually do, right? So, in May, Jared Blagey, shithouse last name. Yeah, he does a crazy double whammy in Parliament or whatever.
Mm.
So, he's introducing legislation. One side of it was that anyone who's making a green project, like a wind farm or whatever, has to do community consultation and open themselves up to legal challenges.
Right.
On the same day, in the same legislation, he made all of the Olympics venues immune from any legal challenges.
I'm going to scream.
And from existing, like, laws, right? So, like, they're...
Well, yeah, I've been seeing all that stuff where it's like, oh, well, if it's for the Olympics, we can actually, like, we can flout, like, you know, all these different standards, like construction standards,
yep.
Doesn't matter, it's the Olympics.
Yep.
You know, like, environmental standards, doesn't matter, it's the Olympics. Like,
what's
moving,
the fucking
like, just fucking booting people from places, doesn't matter, it's
doesn't
the Olympics.
Doesn't matter, it's for the,
like,
Olympics?
Are you serious?
Well, no,
fuck
it's
off.
Not just the Olympics, sorry. Jared also says they're delivering a generational infrastructure legacy across Queensland.
Oh, the generational legacy.
They're still
Christopher
doing that.
Foley's really exciting. Oh,
fucking,
we want a generational legacy.
Fucking
we want
bullshit.
To have a legacy that's generational. We want a generational legacy.
So, say Victoria Park does a meeting in August, right? I'd
yeah.
say we were probably derelict in our duty by not attending.
I'd say you'd probably be right, but...
Well, because we missed a beautiful RNBA-level corny fanfiction moment.
Oh, really?
So someone stands up, right?
Yes.
Asking a question. It's like, who is willing to take direct action to prevent the venue from being built?
Ooh.
Really throwing down the gauntlet, right?
Yes.
And a hand goes up. Tentatively. And it's Campbell Newman. Can-do Campbell, former Liberal Party Premier of Queensland, tough-on-crime psycho-libertarian who sold off state assets and pulverized the public service.
What? Mr. Newman, what the fuck are you doing?
He doesn't want the Olympics. He thinks it's bad business. Right?
I hate that sometimes you just get down in the mud with people that you, like, objectively don't have much in common with, but you're both down there because you're like, damn, we have to be in the mud to make things clean. And it's like, fuck's sake.
You've kind of nailed what someone coming up's about to say.
Yeah.
Because so next to Campbell Newman... Oh, I have a crazy stat Wikipedia gave me.
Go on.
It's a crazy stat. He's the only person to have served the entirety of his time in Queensland Parliament as Premier.
Wait, know? What?
Yeah, so he was elected as Premier and then he lost government and never got back into Parliament. So he was just like Premier for a while. That was it.
And he hasn't done any of the other, like...
No, none of the other roles. No,
what
no, no.
The fuck?
Yeah. We missed the Campbell Newman period. It was before Palaszczuk.
What the fuck?
And he was, like, hated.
Holy
right?
shit.
So next to Campbell is David Hinchliffe, who's a former Labour Party councillor and a deputy mayor
mm-hmm.
for the Labour Party.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's a full-time artist. and like highlights indigenous work and stuff. And I didn't do much of a look up of him.
Fair enough.
So his hand's raised as well, right? I have to assume he's holding a paintbrush or something.
Perfect. His paint splattered hand raises into the air. His paint splattered hand.
Campbell Newman's holding, like, I don't know, what do libertarians hold? He's holding the Age of Consent. He's holding The Theory of Moral Sentiments by Adam Smith.
Go all on. Right,
so one down from him, the Guardian article implies, I doubt these three were sitting in a row, but, you know, fan fiction, is Jonathan Sriranganathan, former Greens counselor, a cool, handsome hippie who I believe lives on a boat. He describes himself as an anarcho-communarian or something like that. He ran for mayor recently, and he's like a proper lefty.
Yeah.
His hand's up as well with Campbell Newman and the Labour MP. He's like, this is a lovely quote. He's like, it's an uneasy alliance. We're not quite strange bedfellows. We're not even necessarily in the same bed.
Oh, my God. This is giving, like, you know, I never thought I'd die standing side to side with an elf or whatever.
It's that. It's good fun.
That's really funny. I would love to have seen, like all three of these men... They all put their hands up for this meeting, right? Being like, who's going to actually stop this?
Yeah.
And they're like, we will. And it's very like, you know, I will take it. I will take the ring to Mordor.
This is
very fellowship coded. I'm
it
having a great time.
It is very fellowship coded. I guess, do the fellowship not like each other before the fellowship?
Kind of, yeah.
Or do they not really know each other?
They don't really
They're like introduced to each other, right?
Some of them know each other. Some of them don't. And, like, the main friction is just between, like, the dwarves and the elves, you know, fantasy racism.
Yeah, fantasy racism. Dwarves are colored
people. And I guess
people.
The two types of, the two different human men or whatever.
You can't tell me there's two different human men in Lord of the Rings.
There is. To be fair, one of them dies, so then it's
Wait,
only
do you
one.
Mean, like, just, like, two dudes?
Yes.
Not like, oh, there's not, like, different kinds of human.
No.
All right,
no,
I was about to be like, you can't have had like a second race
like,
of people.
Like, you can't be telling me there's like, yeah, there's human and then there's man here.
So, talking about all these humans who aren't in the same bed.
Go on.
I have to assume they're at least in the same house, right? So, following the metaphor, let's look at the man who owns the bulldozer company.
All right.
This is a stupid-looking guy named Andrew Leveris, or Andrew Leveris. I'll show you a picture of Andrew Leveris. Liveris. He's an Australian business executive, as per Google and Wikipedia, and he kind of just looks like this, you know?
Wow, what a stash.
Doesn't he just look corrupt?
He certainly looks like he has veneers.
Yeah, oh, he certainly has veneers. He certainly has veneers. So, Andrew. Andrew Liveris, he's a villain. He's such a great villain. We're going to have such fun with him. He's going to come up again in the future. I can't believe this is the first time I've heard of him.
Hell yeah.
So, he's the president of Brisbane 2032, which is the project to make the Olympics happen.
Right.
And again, no Olympics. We are no Olympics as a podcast.
No Olympics.
We cannot let that slop fest into our city. So he's like stressing, right? I was hoping you could read this like a slimy businessman who knows that he's going to get everything he wants, but is acting like there's actual barriers to these freaks raping the land for their personal gain. There's all quotes from Andrew from some of the articles he's given.
We need accommodation. We need hotels. We need human capital like there's no tomorrow. Skilled labor is a country issue. How do we solve our labor shortage? I would be very energized if I was a small business in this state and this community. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be part of something that puts your product on display. You'll be part of an Olympic city, an Olympic state. So I think it's a massive opportunity.
What do you think? Is this a trustworthy individual?
No.
He sounds like the villain from Lil Elvis, you know?
Oh my God! You can't just unearth that for me.
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Like
yeah.
This is him.
Absolutely. How is it that every single like Australian cartoon is just like, oh no, the evil land developer, he's gonna come and ruin the land, and he's just like, I'm here and I'm gonna get some oil, and then the kid's like, no, we have to stop him, and the adults are like, well, there's nothing we can do, little skipper, and he's like, we're gonna break the machines, and then like.
It's
Why are they always
step?
The villain, and yet here we are?
Well, that's the thing, right? That's so much of our childhood cartoons, people our generation, Little Elvis. You know Rove was an animator on that?
Fuck off. No, he wasn't.
That was like his start in entertainment was, I don't know if he was an animator or like...
Fuck off, Rove was on Little Elvis.
I'm not lying to you. He wasn't on Little Elvis. He worked on Little Elvis. But
yeah, that's the same thing.
No, it's not. He wasn't like playing Little Elvis or something.
Who played Little Elvis?
I don't know who played Little Elvis. Do you want me to find that out?
I'm Googling Rove Little Elvis.
Yeah, do that. I'll tell you who played Little Elvis. But yeah, like
they... Damn, Rove's first 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Was on Little Elvis.
What, you thought I was lying to you about that?
Yes.
Why?
Because that's insane.
He had to get his start somewhere. Let's see, he was playing... Let me tell you who was playing Little Elvis. Who was... Wendy Stapleton was his singing voice. And some guy named Stig Wemyss was Little Elvis Jones. So yeah, the Little Elvis developer. Well, because what else are you going to do? Like, you're going to destroy the machine. And so we try to do that as adults. And it's like, oh, don't do that. That's for cartoons. Only in cartoons do people take stances against blame developers who are agreed universally, unanimously across the nation as the evilest scum that exists.
Yes.
Everybody knows this. We are taught this in our cartoons. We are taught this in our culture. We know this by the people we meet. I had so many shithouse customers at Mecca. 3/4 of the time when I get to their email address, it's like at, you know, Domain Real Estate or at Rhino Horn or at fucking Place Real
Estate. Some absolute feral bullshit where it's just like, oh, you're a leech. You're a leech and you're a parasite.
Yeah. Like, I knew a lady who had a Lamborghini. It's like, yeah, we're developers. It's like, of course you're developers.
Of course you are. It's
and like, they say it with pride.
What do
they
you do?
They say it with pride. We make jobs.
I break communities and rape Earth. What do you...
What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
It's like, oh, I guess I sell you products.
Yeah, I guess I'm your servant in a way, I suppose. Yeah.
No, that's why these motherfuckers love going to places like Saudi and Dubai. Because you
they
can
do.
Just have servants there.
Of
and they're
course.
Like, well, I deserve servants.
Of course.
Anyway, I've got a smattering of random lines from Andrew's Wikipedia page. You can
smatter them on me.
You can tell me your thoughts. Andrew Liveris is the former CEO and chairman of the Dow Chemical Company.
Mm.
In 2015, auditors at Dow challenged what they said was improper spending by Liveris. Auditors testified that he used the company's customer events department for personal events, including family events and various services.
Fuck me, dude. Come on.
Like, he's too corrupt for Dow Chemical Company.
Like, grow up. And I mean that in the way of, like, if you're going to be corrupt and clearly it's just in your bones at this point, like, can you just be a bit more effective about it?
Yeah, don't be shit.
This is embarrassing.
I'm saying grow up in the way of all of our time on this earth must come to an end, and you should hasten yours.
Yes.
In 2016, Liveris was named by Donald Trump to lead his American Manufacturing Council.
Of course he was.
Liveris is on the board of IBM, Saudi Aramco, and NEOM.
Love that.
You remember NEOM?
Nope.
You don't remember the big line in the desert that Saudi Arabia is making?
The line!
Oh, we're going to speak a bit
the
more about NEOM.
The fucking line?
Everyone
God
get excited. We're
going to
speak about NEOM.
It.
There's a lot of Australians working at NEOM.
God damn.
There's a lot.
Not the fucking line.
At the line. Liveris is chairman of BlackRock Long-Term Capital.
I'm going to shit. What are you talking about?
And special advisor to the public investment fund to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Jesus Christ. He's like, yeah, I'm also like the deputy chief antichrist.
Is Peter Thiel's my boss?
Yeah, I have shares in like eating babies.
I'm actually a director with pulling people's toenails out.
Yeah, you know. I sit on the board of boiling the ocean.
I sit on the board of the necks of the working class.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. God fucking damn it.
The Australian Financial Review wrote an article about him saying Liveris's main character syndrome is Olympic ready. Anyway.
Oh my God.
So that's going to be one of our next villains, next big villains of our next few years coming up to the Olympics.
Lucky
like,
us.
I'm going to rake this motherfucker over the coals, I swear to God.
As you should.
I have a couple of funny things about his kids as well.
Go on.
So one of them is Anthony. His Wikipedia.
Albanese?
Yes. Anthony Albanese Liveris.
This is his dad.
This is his, we finally found
him. It wasn't the other guy.
It wasn't Carlo. Nah, it's this motherfucker. Nah. Okay, so Anthony Liveris. His Wikipedia page has a warning at the top of it that I've never seen before. This article may have been created or edited in return for undisclosed payments.
Fuck off.
What does that mean?
Fuck off. I mean, I guess this is what I instantly think. He's paid someone to create this Wikipedia page. about him.
Yes.
So that he has a Wikipedia page and he can, like, tell it to women at bars and shit.
I think so. Because, like, I went into the discussion and talk pages and I couldn't find, like, what. Because it was like, go to the talk page for details. I'm like, absolutely, I am. Nothing there. So I don't know what the deal is. Mm. The page is, like, you know, pretty positive towards him. I mean, positive is probably a stretch. It's like anodyne. It doesn't really say anything. He's not that notable.
Well, yeah, because he hasn't done shit, probably.
He has a data analytics firm and a multi-stage life sciences biotechnology incubator, which are both obviously fake things.
Yes.
Like, that's not a real thing. And he was vice president of the University of Pennsylvania's College Republicans chapter.
Of course.
He's also the president of something. Major League Pickleball Australia.
Ew!
He's the president. He's going to bring pickleball to the
Olympics.
This
is exactly the man who would ask for a Wikipedia entry to be written about him. He probably plays, like, you know, like, frisbee on his off time.
No, he plays pickleball.
Well, obviously he plays pickleball, but...
Probably also, what's that wooden sport from the Danish?
Yeah, this motherfucker is out there playing Finska.
You know we have a Finska
drinking
team?
International beers.
The Finskaroos?
And yeah, I know we have the fucking Finskaroos.
Gojo's like, on it. No, he's not. He's not. Gojo's not on the Finskaroos.
But yeah, no, this guy absolutely, like, I see him in my mind's eye. And in my mind's eye, he's always, like, annoying a pretty woman.
Yeah, he's annoying a pretty woman and offering to buy her a house.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing, because he's like got...
He's just like, oh, you know, my Lamborghini or whatever, yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
I'm in my,
and she's just like, oh.
I got 35 Lamborghinis in my... All right, exactly. I'm going to tell you three of his bosses. You're going to tell me who you think is the worst of them.
Okay.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Ooh.
Mitt Romney. Tony Blair. Fuck, marry, kill.
Oh my god, okay. Fuck, marry, kill, Malcolm Turnbull, Mitt Romney, and Tony Blair.
And we're bringing pickleball to the Olympics.
Yeah, we're bringing pickleball to the Olympics. Okay, I'm gonna kill Tony Blair.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna have sex with Mitt Romney.
Interesting.
And I'm gonna marry Malcolm Turnbull.
Does that... See, I think I'd marry Mitt and fuck Malcolm.
Oh.
I'm obviously killing Tony Blair. Fuck
yeah,
you,
I mean,
Mitt. You know, he apparently says, he's like, history will judge me kindly on the Iraq War. It's like,
bro, are Iraq. You dumb?
God damn, they're not going to judge you kindly on anything. But that's
yeah,
the,
come on,
that might
now,
be
man.
The worst. I mean, I don't know. Our British listener, who I've learned that we have, chime in with the worst thing about Tony Blair.
Yeah, let us know what's the worst thing about Tony Blair.
But like,
inquiring minds want to know.
Like, absolutely kill Tony Blair. The fucking... Viceroy of Gaza. But yeah, I would fuck Malcolm and marry Mitt because, like, well, I just kind of know that Mitt Romney is going to cause the least issues because he's a Mormon who doesn't drink.
That's fair, and I think maybe that's why I'd fuck him and then go marry Malcolm, because I would imagine, right, I marry Malcolm, he can fund my lifestyle, and I can just kind of, like, be doing whatever.
Mitt Romney can fund your lifestyle.
Of course, but I'd probably have to be in Utah.
No, I think Malcolm would want to talk. Out of, like, Malcolm Turnbull seems like he's probably a decent husband.
Malcolm Turnbull looks like he's, like, you know, you finish off and then he, like, rolls over and he's like, so, like, I just think we should maybe talk about what our dreams are.
Oh, my God. And he's like, I dream to keep wearing that leather jacket.
Oh, fuck.
All right, so then there's Anthony's sister, Andrew's daughter, Alexandra, who has a similar amount of no shame.
Of course.
She is a filmmaker and storyteller drawn to the places where personal healing and collective transformation meet.
Wow.
I'm not going to watch any of these movies, not just because movies are bad, but just on principle. Like, your father is a ghoul demon. Just be anonymous.
And you're like, eat, pray, loving out here being like, I'm just trying to find my spiritual center. I don't know why my spirit is so unclean. And it's like, because you come from a devil family.
Yeah, you come from a devil family. Just like,
commit you were raised to not, in blood. Like,
commit
up.
To not having children, get an anonymous yeah. job, live in whatever comfort you like. The making of art is not for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, Alexandra, come on the pod. Come on the pod.
Come on, Alexandra.
Gotta come on the pod. On the topic of big international events, there's been more than a few countries threatening to boycott Eurovision if Israel's involved.
Yes, bitch.
We obviously had our Eurovision episode, which I think has been our, like, most popular episode. People love that app.
I'm glad people enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun writing it and looking into, like, a lot of the Eurovision stuff that I didn't even know.
Yeah, and we got to meet Gojo.
And we... Oh.
So far, Ireland, Slovenia, Iceland, and then the Netherlands, and Spain have threatened to boycott.
Yes.
And that's pretty big, Spain specifically, because they're part of the Big Five, as you told us about.
Yes.
So them threatening to pull out might have some significant heft.
Exactly. I mean, the financial implications alone would be very interesting. And I think, like...
They'd have to let the U.S. in to make up the shortfall.
Fuck. Could you imagine?
Yeah, like, because they pay a bunch of it, or...
Yeah, so Spain is one of the biggest financial contributors to the European Broadcasting Union.
Yeah, okay. So the whole architecture of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, like, you know...
That'd actually be, like, if they're not going, they might not show it as well.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of factors at play. I imagine if they could get another of the Big Five on side, they'd surely have, like, a...
Well, so who are the other ones? So Germany?
Yeah, so
Britain,
you got...
Italy,
Germany,
France?
UK... Italy, France, Spain, yeah.
So, France probably won't. Germany has condemned the boycott. Germany and Austria. So, they've come out specifically being like, how dare you?
Well, they kind of have to.
They, I think, at this point...
They're on a weird, like...
No, they have... They can't do... I mean, I know...
They're skirting on some thin ice.
No, but it's just a matter of, like, listen... The biggest anti-Semites in the world are either the Israeli government or the Executive Council of Australian Jewry. But the people who say the worst shit about Jewishness, that Jewishness requires Zionism, which requires violence, which requires the raping of a land and a people, are the worst anti-Semites on the planet.
Sure.
Come on, man. Anyway, yeah, Germany, look, thanks Germany for that. I guess, like... They could have just not done anything, which is what we're doing.
Mm.
SBS is like, we're planning on entering as usual, but we'll await the decision by the International Broadcasting.
Yeah, whatever.
Just like, hey, stand on business for once. We'll round out with a few more things here, but we're just going to kind of chat about some old episodes.
Let's go.
You might remember our most beloved series, The Clive and the Spurious.
Oh, it was so fucking good.
Do you remember
Clive,
what Clive,
Clive,
was?
Clive, 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 Clive,
Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive, Clive. Do you remember where we left Clive? Do you remember who he was suing?
Oh, he was suing Australia.
Yes.
Yes.
For $300 billion.
Yes. In Singapore?
Yes. He's lost that case.
Okay, good.
Do you want to know where they held the trial?
Where?
The Hague. Like, the famous trial place. Because it's, like, international court or whatever, but, like, the Hague had to listen to Clive for a while.
The Hague?
Yeah. He went to the Hague to sue Australia for not from Singapore, and he's Clive. Anyway.
Unfucking believable.
He's now appealing in a Swiss court.
Of course he is.
I don't know how it works.
He's like, who else is neutral? Switzerland.
He's also, made a human rights complaint against the Brisbane Magistrates Court in the last few months. He's saying that because of some procedural error, they're interfering with his human rights.
What are his human rights that have been interfered with?
Listen, the Brisbane Magistrates Court, basically they were like, Clive has done this every time he's been in any litigation ever, and he's doing it again. So he's going back to the state Supreme Court because of his human rights that the Brisbane Magistrates Court
aren't. Fuck me.
He's also sued the Australian Electoral Commission.
For what?
Don't know. Good stuff.
Fuck it. Why not? He's bored.
His former lawyer, Sam Iskander, as well. He's suing them.
Wow.
And his nephew, Clive, has still not returned to Australia because he's wanted for things.
Jesus.
And they keep having to push it back, being like, we don't think he'll come, so we can't hear the case. We don't want, like... It's not worth trialing him in absentia or whatever.
Extradite him. I don't know.
Well, it's just, I don't fucking know.
Come on.
So, also, I don't have any more alsos about Clive. He's old, he's dying. He says he's done with politics, but he's also, like, threatening to run on this one argument that I think, yeah, we'll briefly talk about it later.
Okay.
About staff allocations, he says, that got the fire in his belly again. But yeah.
Right.
So, this was a shock for me. You remember Dan Repicoli?
Yes.
Big bearded man.
Big Dan, who's doing the social media posts.
Last morning, on Halloween morning.
Yes.
Karl Stefanovic, live on TV, shaved his beard off.
What?
For like Movember or whatever. Just raising money for mental health.
And Karl did that?
Yeah, he went on the Today Show and Karl shaved his beard off.
How does he look without the beard?
I'm Does he look worse?
Well, because his beard was quite big.
You can kind of tell that he's got that, you know, like predator smile when he doesn't have the beard. You know, and I don't mean to say that he's necessarily a predator, although, like, he you know, is a professional shooter.
You know.
And what did he say? Size doesn't matter when you got fucking 400 pounds pushing it.
Yeah, some fucking nuts shit like that. Come on, bro.
Like, he's kind of predator carded. But, yeah, like, you can...
Yeah, he looks so fucking weird without the beard.
Yeah,
holy
although
shit.
He's tidied it up there. The video I saw, it was still kind of, like, scruffy because he just shaved it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he's beardless now for mental health. For the mental health of his wife. I don't know.
Yeah,
health
she's pretty
thighs.
Upset because she can't have a beard. And, like,
she's
like
mad that he's lost his weight because she's like, well, now there's only, you know, 100 kilos.
Now there's only,
it.
Like, exactly.
Now I can,
like,
tell how small it is.
Where's the force of 400 that I've been waiting for and longing for?
All right, so I realized I didn't write an actual segue back into our local guy. So
Doesn't matter.
Let's talk about David Crisafulli.
Let's do it.
Oh, David Crisafulli. So it's obviously his government doing the whole Olympics thing.
Yes.
But we've spoken about that already. He's had a funny little flub. A really funny little flub.
Go on.
So a few weeks ago, he was talking at a press conference at the Olympics, about the Olympics, rather. And somebody asks, how are you going to attract interstate business? And he's like, well, he uses his response to spruik how good the adult crime, adult time laws have been, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll tell you another thing Queensland can offer. They live in Melbourne. They've got a place that's dealing with youth crime. And in Queensland, they won't get stabbed. That's a good start. So he seems to be referencing a recent clip of a woman in Melbourne being stabbed.
Oh, right.
Did
I
you
remember
see this?
Hearing about this.
We'll play the whole game. It's an immigrant being stabbed by a local adult. So it's the opposite of what David Crisafulli is talking about.
You know, he's just like, oh, it's not like brown children like harassing white women.
No,
it's like...
it's an Asian woman being stabbed by a white woman.
Yeah.
The video is, like, I actually saw the clip for the first time while looking it up. I didn't want to, but it's a really strange clip. The attacker, like, runs up to this lady from behind, taps her on the shoulder, kind of, like, stabs her like that in the chest, and then just keeps running. Doesn't take anything. It's like a pocket knife kind of thing. It kind of looks like someone tweaking and thinking they're playing a video game more than anything else.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But, yeah, it was a really weird video. The ladies are, like, she's not okay, but she's not in the hospital. She's hard. She's hard.
Yeah.
So David had to make an apology, being like, sorry for making fun of that lady being stabbed in Melbourne.
Hey, sorry to laugh about the stabbing and stuff. It's just, I hate Melbourne.
I really hate Melbourne. And other than the youth crime stuff and the Olympic stuff, since we spoke about him, the Crisafulli government has also banned pill testing.
Oh, I heard about this too.
Yes.
Yeah. It's so fucking dumb.
And they've started removing fluoride from the water.
Yeah, that's also really good.
GPs have had payroll tax abolished.
I don't know what that fucking means.
I don't really know what that means. I feel like I need to read more about that. And there was a whole numbers controversy about what's happened with youth crime in the past year.
Yes. So they originally said, like, the wrong number or whatever about the crime reductions.
And
they're
kind of playing with it because they're playing with it. The opposition's accusing them of playing with it, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you were talking about crime numbers, now you're talking about victim numbers. Why did you omit this number? Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't, like... The problem with playing that numbers game is that you kind of softly acquiesce to the idea that there is a crime crisis.
Yes.
Because when Labor comes out and is like, oh, you know, David, your crime stuff isn't effective, that's kind of softly saying because we think someone should be doing effective, tough on crime stuff, right?
Yes.
Like, you're seeding that floor, you're seeding the premise that there is a youth crime crisis.
Yes. Yeah.
According to the ABC... For the first year of his government, the Queensland coal miners, like, group, the Resources Council, has given him a B, while the Conservation Council has given him a D.
Oh.
So I guess that's
so I guess he got a B from those guys, and then he got, like, dicked down by the other guys.
Yeah, and we'll give
you
that dick a rest now.
Rest that dick.
Bye, David.
Bye.
Come on the pod.
Yeah,
David,
hey,
come on the pod.
Come on the pod.
On the pod.
We got some questions. Maybe we could have cannolis. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you and I can't. What? Wheat filled with, like, cream?
Yeah. David, come on the podcast, bring cannolis, and we'll do the podcast while Yanni and I are both, like, simultaneously, like, shitting and vomiting.
Yeah, you can run the pod for us,
yeah,
David. You can talk to Archie. I don't have much to add about Albo. I think everyone knows what's happening with Albo.
He's just fucking doing shit, whatever.
But yeah, I discovered this whole thing about staff allocations, which I find kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, like, somebody has to, I guess, decide how many staff members... each party gets paid for by the government, right?
Okay.
So, like, if you get elected into parliament, a number of staff members is paid for you.
Okay, so it's like you get, like, what, like, five people that will pay for
you. You don't need to pay for your assistant or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or the whatever it be, right? And the person who decides is the prime minister for everyone. And it's not...
Damn.
And it's not, like, a universal thing. It's not like if you win X seats, you get Y people.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a thing that he decides.
You just kind of, like, pick.
Yeah, and so there's a big controversy, I guess, they're arguing about in politics because he's, like, cut a lot of seats, like, a disproportionate amount of seats from the parties that aren't the Labour Party. He has cut Labour Party seats as well. I mean, not seats, sorry, like, staff members or whatever.
Yeah,
It's a weird situation. I think David Pocock was getting at him about it. Clive's getting at him about it a little. Obviously, the Greens and the Liberal Party are getting at him about it. But, like, if that's one of his jobs, like, why did you give him any, Anthony? Just, like, and obviously, I'm saying this because this is what I do, and that's why there shouldn't be a prime minister. But, like, if you have, like, if that's one of your things you can do, why are you giving the opposition staff? Make them pay for it.
Yeah, like, well, like, it surprises me that this is something that is decided by the prime minister.
Yes, it's bizarre.
Shouldn't they have, like, they fucking love doing little legislations and shit. Shouldn't they have already put in a thing which is, like, for the next 5 years... the government will have X amount of people funded based on blah, blah, blah. Or even just like, yeah, based on, you know, electorate size or whatever, like you get X amount of staff and then they review that every like, you know, two terms or whatever
it
and then be like, oh, okay, we've realized now that we actually need more or, oh, we can actually do with less.
I think David Pocock's basically saying like, there should just be an independent body that does it based on how many people. But yeah, so I don't think that's anything. I don't think that's going to be interesting to look at later. And, like, I understand the Liberal Party's, like, broke. And it's like, don't you represent the business class of this country? What's wrong with you guys?
Yeah,
how are you guys broke?
Like,
I know why I'm broke.
That's because the business class doesn't like me. Like, come on now. They're really out there fucking it up at the moment. And I guess that's the thing, right? They're not making any, like, they're not in power, so they can't make any, like, fun deals or anything with business.
No.
So they just kind of have to be like, oh, please give us money. And business is like, don't beg.
I mean, what's the...
It's embarrassing.
What's the heartland of Liberal power in Australia right now? Is it, like...
Queensland, I guess.
Like, the outer suburbs of Queensland cities?
You know?
You know, like, is that kind of it? Like... Are they in state government anywhere? I don't think they are. Northern Territory. Leah Fino-Chiara. I forgot about her. There's definitely someone else we should talk about. But that I think that should be about it for the week. I don't think there's anything else over the last year that we've spoken about that I wanted to touch back in on.
I don't think so. I'm just trying to have a think. I don't think... Hang on. Let me just check. Check some of our notes. See what's going on.
The voice of Lionel Dexter was a lady named Kylie Belling.
Kylie Belling.
It's from Lil Elvis again.
Lil fucking Elvis.
Who else was on Lil Elvis? Linda Gibson was on Lil Elvis. Don't know
Lil Elvis Jones.
Duncan was voiced by Michael Vitch. He was in Full Frontal.
Full Frontal.
He's also known for his books on World War II aviation.
Damn.
That's a kind of crazy thing. Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I think that's probably it. We've got some big stories coming out. To round the year out, we'll be talking about Saudi Arabia. We'll be talking about... I mean, we're going to talk about, like, the relationship between this. We're not just going to talk about Saudi Arabia for a few weeks. We just become a different podcast.
Yeah, hey, next season, we're leaving.
we're done with Australia. We're going to Saudi Arabia, of all places. But, yeah, and we'll be talking about... Finally, we'll be doing an episode about... like different left groups in Brisbane and, you know, what someone's options are if they want to start getting involved with activism on the ground. And we will be maybe talking about Susan Lee if she manages to last till the end of the year.
Good Lord.
She's a loop.
It's rough out here.
She's crazy.
Miss Susie.
Susan, come on the pod.
Susan.
Come on the pod.
Hey, as a fellow, as someone who also went through a punk phase in Canberra as a teen, like.
That was in Canberra?
Yeah.
I'm so excited. All right. That'll be us. Thank you very much for listening over the past 11 months or so. You know where our Patreon is, patreon.com/shouldn'tacome. Obviously, we have, like, the occasional bonus episode. We will, as always, try our best to get that up a bit higher.
Yeah.
But we do appreciate the support from our patrons. And you can follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/@shouldn'tacome. There won't be slides for this episode.
Nah.
So it'll just be, there will be the audio for it up there. My album, the demo of it's on Bandcamp, yanniax.bandcamp.com. And if you want to chat with us about anything, shouldn'tacome@gmail.com, spelled like the name of the podcast without the apostrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been Yanni.
I have been Kieran.
That's Archie. He's stretching.
Yeah. Aww. He's just lying in bed.
Yeah. We all buckled in for the storm that's ended.
Yeah, so I guess that's that for us.
Yeah. All right. Bye, folks.
Bye.